Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch. We have the lovely and talented Kat, that's C-A-T, pushing the envelope. Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We can also be found on Facebook and Instagram. And if you found me on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. We've got two towns we are shouting at today. Here in the great United States, where we have some listeners. Katy, Texas is part of the greater Houston area. It's a great... Katy, Texas has a big football dominance. You know, Texas is a great place for high school football.
It's all about the football.
All about the football. Our other town is Fayetteville, Arkansas. Known for innovation, spirit, and academic center, known as the Athens of the Ozarks, and also a very hilly area. Also has like seven hills around it. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol is always here on the back porch. Now, I've always looked at the glass half full. Hopefully half full of Maker's Mark bourbon, which is what I have in my lovely Maker's Mark Mile from Keeneland, awesome race course in Kentucky. Me and Kat have that on the bucket list to go to Keeneland. Maker's Mark and the Maker's Mark glass. Kat, what you got?
It's getting a little hot out here, and I just made me some lemonade, but of course it's...
spiked
pink Whitney lemonade with a little 7-Up.
Woo, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right, let's line them up and get it on. Drag racing. That's right. Old school drag racing. Been around since the 40s. Can we hit the History with Steve music? In the 1940s, World War II veterans were mainly involved in drag racing, and some of the first drag races were held at decommissioned aircraft bases, which was smart because it was big paved areas and nothing was going on.
Something to do.
A man named Wally Parks formed the National Hot Rod Association, known as the NHRA, and 73 years later, it's still thriving. Where did drag racing, where did that term come from? It means to drag each other to the finish line. Drag racing's kind of been in the background, wouldn't you say, of motorsports?
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly the sexiest thing. It's probably pretty fast, but...
it's kind of a shame because it is pretty cool. You know, two cars line up, drivers are staring at the Christmas tree, waiting for the green light, and then it's on. The NHRA, they do a great job of putting on a show these days, but there's also a lot of illegal drag racing going on, probably right now.
You mean not just rebel without a cause?
No. It's probably going on in a public street near you. Hell, back in the day, talking like the 70s, when I was in high school, we would line it up on the street right around the corner from the high school. And we'd race early in the morning before school started. Now, I had a 69 Ford LTD that was gifted to me from my grandparents. I think my dad gave him 300 for it. So I didn't win too often, but, you know, it goes way back. The 60s, you had the hot rods, dudes talking shit, challenging each other. In the 70s, 80s, you had the muscle cars.
But nobody out there was like racing for papers or anything like that.
No, right? Not like, there's a show, I don't know if it's still on, Pink Slips or something, right? Or whatever. The 90s, 2000s, that's when you had like the sports cars, right? Popping up, the mostly from Japan, those cars going at it. The street racing thing, it's really kind of gotten out of hand lately. Evidently, it's easy to go online and let everybody know there's going to be a street racing event coming up, because it's happening in a city near you kind of on the regular. It's not so much.
You've seen a Northside show, Live Patrol.
Yeah.
They've had some, they've tried to break up some of those.
Yeah. I don't know if it's so much drag racing, but they're doing that.
Drifting.
Yeah. Yeah. That
looks stupid, because you're like burning a ton of tires as you're doing
that. I don't know why
that,
somebody
right?
hadn't got killed. They like, well, one dude's hanging out the killed. Side, but everybody's got their phone out. I don't know. When these dudes show up, they call it a flash mob. And when the flash mob shows up, they don't always pick a street or intersection that's out of the way. I mean, sometimes the stuff's on the news where they just block up streets, like in the busiest part of town, and do their thing till the cops show up. And then they all haul ass. Yeah, I think that garbage needs to stop. But let's get to the legal stuff. The NHRA, National Hot Rod Association, it's kind of caught my eye lately, because it does come on television on Sunday nights on Fox Sports 1, if you get that. We got it on DirecTV, which is very smart of them to put it on Sunday night, because usually all the major sporting events for the weekend are all done. So why not put your product out there when there's really nothing else on? And the NHRA said they do a great job on their broadcast. Not a lot of downtime. It's just race after race. They'll interview the drivers who win. The drivers are very well spoken too. When they get out the car, they got the little spiel. It's not a lot of that NASCAR. I want to thank Interstate Battery and Joe Blow Transmission. Nothing like that. Hang on, I gotta take a sip.
I bet you they don't have $180 nachos like they do the F1 there in Miami.
Anyway, the NHRA, they have some very talented lady drivers. It's a female-friendly sport. You got Brittany Force, Jasmine Salinas, Kristen Baldwin, Alexia. I can't say your last name. She's badass. DeJoria? Mm-hmm. Sorry, Alexia. She's great. Erica Enders is badass. These ladies are great drivers, and they're pretty easy on the eyes as well. There's a man named Matt Hagen, who's in the funny car division. He's been doing really well lately. Matt Hagen is from Christiansburg, Virginia, which is about, 3 hours due west of here?
3 hours.
Yeah. He's doing really good. Hopefully Matt can continue his success. The National Hot Rod Association, they got several classes. I guess Top Fuel, they're considered the kings of the sport. These cars can hit speeds of 330 miles an hour. Okay, that's in a quarter of a mile. Okay, you're sitting in this rocket with four wheels on it, and it takes 3.7 seconds to get to the finish line. So imagine that adrenaline. These cats get after it. The funny cars, they can also hit over 300 miles an hour. Pro stock, they hit a quarter mile in like 6.5 seconds, hitting speeds of like 210 miles an hour. You got the Top Fuel dragsters, 285 miles per hour. Alcohol funny cars, they can go 5.3s, more than 270 miles an hour. They also have a motorcycle division, and those cats get down. And some of the events, it's pretty cool. They'll go, instead of just racing two, they'll go four wide. It's like four cars going at it. That it's pretty awesome. And the NHRA, it's also smarter than NASCAR. Pretty much all forms of motorsports are smarter than NASCAR, because the drag strip dudes, they don't run every week. It's not watered down. They'll run, then it'll be a couple weeks, then they run again. They're actually coming out here to the Virginia Motor Sports Park, June 21st, 2nd, and 3rd. Again, I just started watching it a couple years ago. I'm not a gearhead.
And what draws you to it? What do you like the most about, besides the not quite advertising about it?
Well, if you watch the way they present it, they put you inside the car. These dudes are taking motors out in between races.
Oh, God.
I mean, there's dudes back there in the, I don't know, the garage area that are just going after it. And back on the track, they line them up and it gets on. There's no dragging on. Nobody's going in the pits. It's just on the track, hammer down. And it's pretty exciting. Because if you think about it, you're sitting in this little freaking seat, okay? And you've got these little levers in your hand, and it's like a tunnel vision. You're just looking down, and all of a sudden, you're going 300 miles an hour. I mean, just think about it. I mean, these cats are crazy. John Force, I don't know how old this dude is. He's been out there forever.
Well, the daughters, they had like a reality show for a while.
They kick ass. Yeah. Brittany is badass in the sport. And again, I just started watching it a couple years ago, you know, and I just started to dig it. You know, if you have a drag strip near you, go on out there and check it out. The NHRA seems to be very fan friendly, and it's probably going to be a good time if you go out there. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a... All right, baseball season has started again. They did put a timer on the pitcher. The game's moving a little quicker now. Not a lot of walking around the mound, scratching, taking the hat off, hat on, hitting the resin bag and all that shit. They got to throw the next pitch. But what I did notice is dudes are, they got advertisements on their uniforms now, on the sleeve. I'm like, where did this shit come from? But whatever. Baseball, there's still a lot of jewelry out there. Evidently, the team with the most jewelry on wins. But back in the day, we had Brooks Robinson, born in 1937 from Little Rock, Arkansas. Played third base for the Baltimore Orioles. He was nicknamed the Human Vacuum Cleaner. Brooks Robinson was considered the greatest third baseman in Major League history. That's a hot box. When that ball comes down third base, Jack, that thing's coming. Joined the Orioles organization as a teenager. A teenager? Check this out. In 1971, Brooks Robinson earned $100,000. Think about that. Nowadays, you got these tattoo dudes.
Tattoo millionaires. All jewel,
got the ropes around the neck. It's unreal. They make $100,000 a game. Brooks Robinson. He helped the Baltimore Orioles win the World Series in 66 and 1970.
He was very good at giving out an autograph. He was even portrayed in a painting by Norman Rockwell, signing a baseball for a young fan.
You never heard nobody say nothing bad about him. Went out there and did a show.
He wrote left-handed, although he batted and threw right-handed. So he's ambidextrous.
That's like me. I'm kind of screwed up.
Our son is that way too.
It's weird. That's why we're so smart. Brooks Robinson's number 5 is retired by the Orioles. Elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Was a clutch hitter, hit 268 career home runs, besides being an excellent defensive player.
Brooks Robinson ranked number 80 of the 100 greatest baseball players of all time, and that makes Brooks Robinson one tough son of a bitch. Are we still watching stuff?
We're still watching. And this was a light comedy. I'll put it that way. It seemed like Netflix went, hey, you know what? Part of your Netflix contract is to be in one movie and one movie. We are all going to be in. You're going to do that stand-up, you're going to be in a movie. Jerry Seinfeld did this movie called Unfrosted for Netflix.
I can't believe he went on there.
And he directed it, too. Okay, let's see.
Oh, so he got two checks.
He got two checks. It starred him, of course, Melissa McCarthy and Jim Gaffigan. Amy Schumer did a couple of bits in there. Anybody you wanted to think of showed
anybody
up.
Anybody sitting at home.
Anybody sitting at home, hey, I've got that Netflix contract. I guess I need to fulfill that. Anyway, it was a light comedy. It's set in Michigan, 1963. It's a story about how Kellogg's and Post perfected the breakfast pastry. Now, if you know anything, the story behind this is that Post came out and said, hey, we've got this brand new technology. It's going to be great. You know, it's going to be easy to feed the kids. It's going to be a breakfast pastry, and it's going to be called Country Squares. They talked all about it, but it took them a while to develop the technology. But while they're sitting there getting this toastable pastry together within 6 months, Kellogg's has already jumped the gun, has already come up with Pop-Tarts, and it's a big hit. And it was really
Pop-Tart movie.
It's not like the most funniest movie ever, but it's clever because there was a lot of stuff that, you know, when Steve and I were kids in the 1960s were going on, like, you know, Gaffigan goes, oh, Vietnam, that's looked like a great idea. You know, we know that it wasn't a great idea now. And, you know, like they're sitting there trying to get a bunch of a focus group together to try and figure out how to do this Pop-Tart, this, you know. And, of course, they've got all those people that were big when we were kids, like Chef Boyardee. Let's see. The guy who owned Schwinn Bikes was there trying to help them out. You know, plus there were jokes about the space race, which was happening when we were little kids. Anyway, it was a good comedy to watch. Amy Schumer does a great job, and her Melissa McCarthy does a great job. And there's a lot of little bits that are going through the comedy from the 1960s that you just kind of, if you were around our age, you kind of laughed at because it was kind of funny. You know, Jerry has come back and already said, I'm probably never going to do a sequel to this. That's okay. It's pretty funny on its own to see them competing about who's going to have the best Pop-Tart and this, that, and the other. It's, you know, and how they got the Pop-Tart name. Anyway, it's pretty good.
What's it called?
It's called Unfrosted on Netflix. Wanted to watch a little charming comedy with the family with some very recognized. But I need to back it up. There's one scene that is absolutely freaking hilarious. It's all the serial characters have decided they're going to go break in to Kellogg's because they think their cereals are going away because there's a problem with the milkman because you don't need milk for a Pop-Tart. So they're all and it kind of looks like January 6th. That they're going to come because Tony the Tiger character has the little horns on and everything looking like the QAnon shaman. So
yeah, this hidden meeting.
That if nothing else to sit there and watch that part of the comedy, it's pretty funny. Anyway, I would give it a 3-star. It's a nice light comedy. Probably you can watch it with the kids. It's Unfrosted there on Netflix.
All right.
Okay, our shot this week is called the Bubbly Red Sex Shot. It contains...
Say that again?
Bubbly Red Sex.
Okay, I thought you said sex.
S-E-X,
you
yes.
Didn't say that word
probably
too much.
One of these cocktails jinks that came from the 1980s. That
At
just...
least it's not brown. It looks like mud. It's thank God for that.
It's vodka, peach schnapps, a little grenadine, and... tonic water. I think I used 7-Up instead.
I got 2 shots in this glass. Here you go. Cheers, baby. Oh, shit.
Ow.
That was fucking good. Is that good?
That's a good one.
Can I have some more sex? Okay, thank you. Damn. Woo. What was in that?
Vodka, peach schnapps, grenadine, and a little 7-Up.
You mix that in a shaker with ice?
Yeah, and then you do the grenadine, peach, and vodka in the shaker, and then you top it off with the bubbly water there, 7-Up.
That's a keeper. Wow, thank you, Kat. All right, this week we were bumpered in with a band called Sixpence None the Richer, formed in 1992. They're from Texas, but they did most of their work in Nashville. Lee Nash and Matt Slocum are basically Sixpence None the Richer. They had different drummers, different bass players along the way. They had one great bass player called J.J. Placencio.
The book, okay, their name comes from a C.S. Lewis book called Mere Christianity.
Yeah, Sixpence None the Richer. It means to waste your time doing something that offers no value.
Right.
But Sixpence None the Richer has spent their time doing a lot of great stuff. The song we were bumpered in to today is called Love, Salvation, and the Fear of Death. Freaking awesome song. If you don't know Sixpence None the Richer, you probably know the song Kiss Me. That's them. But to me, they're not a one-hit wonder band. They got so many good songs. I got a bunch of their CDs downstairs.
Did you ever go see them?
I'm going to get to that. Okay. Field of Flowers, Spotlight, Meaningless, Within a Room. And don't forget, they covered the Laws song, There She Goes. There she goes. I got the Laws album. It's freaking great. They were a one-hit, one-album wonder. Back in the day, Sixpence, they were all over a little video channel we had back in the day called VH1.
Adult videos.
Matt's the little...
Not well, adult soft videos.
Yeah. Matt Slocum, very good, clean guitar player, used his effects pedals very well, wrote some really good stuff. And remember, Sixpence lyrics, very Christian-based. Kat just said something a minute ago. I saw them, it was like mid-90s, at a church just off of Grove Avenue. There was like 150 people there. Remember, too, they were very young at the time when they started.
Right.
And I really enjoyed the show. You know, Sixpence, they had their kind of heyday. I don't know if they're still going.
No. Their last concert I've got here is December 4th, 2013.
Yeah.
That was in Dallas, so.
Lee Nash, I don't know if she kind of did some solo stuff. I don't know if she got pulled out by somebody who said, hey, we'll try to push you or whatever.
Right.
But her and Matt, they're a great combination. Check out Sixpence, None the Richer, wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.